Yo, 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 it's your girl Nita Capone. Welcome to the one and only Respect the Hustle.
The one and
only show with my boys.
Mr. 3.0.
And yours truly, the one that always
talk
crazy about
ZJ. Hey, that's how you feel today, Fibby?
I came up with that.
Oh, yeah, because we about to get aired out, so you want to get yours out first?
I'm not going to air anybody.
You going to be nice?
Speak your mind.
Well, no, tonight we have a special guest, so I'm going to behave.
That's good.
So who are our special guests tonight?
Ben Troop. I'm all messing his name up. He can yell at me and get on the line, because that's what I'm like a girl. It's okay. Y'all's fault.
Really?
Yeah.
It's our fault?
Yeah.
Okay.
For those who know who Ben Troop, hope he get called up and get it correct for us so we can say
he probably on the line right now. So we, without further ado, we're going to bring him in and
absolutely.
Not waste this hour.
Right.
So let's bring in our guest, former NFL player, tight end for the
he played for the Titans, as well as the Oakland Raiders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Get it.
I mean, listen, don't worry about all that. Listen, I do sports. You know what I mean? I got this. You know what I mean? We strict.
Let's bring our guest on the line. He's been waiting here long enough.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Hello?
Caller? Hi.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
All right, man, we good. What's up with you, Ben?
Ben, I can't call you, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We are excited to have you on the show this evening.
Absolutely.
I'm fucking that dumb. I'm being a real girl tonight. So.
Absolutely, because she don't know nothing about football.
You have to excuse me.
She didn't know what a tight end was, so we just had a little segment where we had to let her know what a tight end was. You know what I mean? It's okay, though. She got support back here, and we got you. Don't worry about it. Because if it was up to Nina, she'd be like, so how many balls did you catch? How many did you pass the ball? Did you pitch the ball? Like, she wouldn't know. So we got you. Definitely.
But he's also a about being a speaker.
Okay, so you're on the second half. She's going to be on the second half. So we got
okay.
you for the first half, and she got you for the second half.
Got you.
So definitely just to jump right into it, you know, just doing a little bit of history on you, you know, picking up as far as you being one of those tight ends out there in the league. You had the pleasure of catching passes from Steve McNair. How was that?
Oh, man, it was epic. I mean, when I got drafted, obviously I knew he was on the team. And, you know, growing up, I mean, he's 10 years older than me by the time I get drafted. So, when you know, I didn't feel crazy telling him I was a fan of his. You know, but the first time I met him, I went straight to his camp. And I ain't never met him before. So when I go on the field to his camp, I mean, I don't know do I say, how you doing, Mr. McNair? How you doing? You know, you don't know what to say to him, you know, because you don't want to sound like a fan even though you are. And he literally looks at me and goes, yo, Rook, go over there. Like, he pointed, go over there and play with these kids. I felt like his son. But I think what it was, I don't think he was trying to, like, big time me or nothing like that. But it was just one of those things to where it's not like I'm going to say no. You know, if he would have told me, you know, go park my car or something, I would have been like, all right, which one is yours? Because I don't know what to do.
Right.
You know, and Steve McNair was like, you know, going to Alcorn. I tell people this all the time. If I go to – I went to the University of Florida. You go to big-time schools and you get drafted. Yeah, you good, but you had the exposure. You go to an HBCU and you get drafted third to the Houston Oilers, you a baller. And he got drafted third. So, I mean, it was a respect thing, though, but it was cool. He was cool people, though. I appreciate it.
So how was – you know, since you mentioned the draft, like, how was draft day for you? I know you was like the eighth pick in the draft.
It was nerve wracking. Because everybody wants to go first round. Like, everybody thinking they're gonna go first round. And the thing was, I got drafted 40, so I got drafted the 40th pick in the second round. I was still the first pick of the team I went to. But it's relief, man. I mean, to people always say, when did you know you was going to get drafted? I always say, when I got drafted. It's not one of those, you know, I wasn't like, you know, Floyd Mayweather saying, you know, I made $100 million and my mom saying I was going to be special when I was a kid. It wasn't nothing like that, man. It's one of those, it's humbling, man, because you got to think. I mean, less than 1% go pro from college. You know, I was crazy enough to think I was going to be one of that less than 1%. Thank God I was, but. I mean, when I go back to that day, I go, man, I would love to tell people why I got drafted and why they selected me, but I'm happy they did, but I can't tell you to this day why they chose me. Out of all the people they could have chose, they chose me, though.
Oh, that's what's up. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I seen your hands when you was playing down in Florida, so we ain't even going to talk about that. You had some hands as a tight end, you know what I mean? You ain't got too many tight ends that got, you know, good hands like that. So I definitely got to give you homage and props about that. So, I mean, that's definitely one of the things. So, you know, I mean, that's what's up. That's really good. Mr. J. King, you got any questions? Because I can go. You know, I can go.
Absolutely. When it comes to football, I mean, you know, a lot of us, you got people who look at the charts, they look at the rates in history, then you got to look at people from the entertainment perspective.
Right.
When I was doing my research on you, bro, I was looking at, you know, quite a few of your interviews as well, too, and you was kind of breaking down the experience that you was having, for one, getting drafted, like you just shared with us a few moments ago, but the whole process of being able to retire during that time. I know I'm probably kind of jumping the gun, but when I watched a few of your interviews, you kind of was real passionate about that. And, you know, just share, I had quite a few people asking questions about that. Why did you retire, and what made that process so simple? Because you was real passionate about it when you were sharing it. So, you know, can you kind of build on that process from the moment you was drafted in to the time, to the transition that you were able to take that step to go ahead and retire?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I never ever cared about most football players. They care about accolades. They care about recognition. They care about the things that come with it. I always was like, look, man, I wanted to be the first guy drafted to the team I went to. I did that. I wanted to be the first guy drafted from the college I came from. I did that. I wanted to walk away on my own terms, because at the end of the day, it took me going to the NFL to realize, man, like, I mean, football is just a part of me. It ain't all of me. And I'm not judging guys who make it their whole life, but it was just a part of my life. And then once you realize that, I wanted to walk away kind of like knowing that I could still play. I ain't want no coach telling me you got to take a pay cut or you've lost a step. I mean, I retired at 26 years old, so I still had a lot left in me. But, I mean, I realized, man, I think what was meant for me was greater than this. So when I went to the Arizona Cardinals, I worked out for them, and they wanted to sign me. They had the general manager, the president, the head coach, office, all these people out here wanted me to sign. And once I realized that they really wanted me, I said I could walk away. I mean, because that way, I think my biggest accomplishment is people asking me why I walked away, compared to saying, hey, man, you know, you should have walked away a lot longer. You know, you could still play, but you old. You just collecting the check, and people only going to remember you based off when they last saw you. Ain't nobody going to be talking about, you know, there are people that saw Mike. There are people that remember Michael Jordan from his last play in the finals, but some people remember him when he played for the Wizards. I ain't want to be that. Okay. I ain't want to be that, hey, dude, man, you still got a jump shot, but you kind of like stealing out here. So I'd rather walk away and people go, hey, man, what happened to you? Which means, like, you stealing the hearts and minds of people. But it was And at the end of the day, man, I mean, football is an opportunity. Everybody will tell you it's a career. It's not. Careers are something you could do forever. And plus, man, I mean, I got a chance to do it. You know, it's not as if
I didn't get
to go out there and put my best foot forward. And plus, I don't have no you know how you got these players that they played in the league and they, you know, they can't even talk about it. They think the league owe them something. Man, they never had to call my name, man, 2004. So I appreciate the opportunity. But the fact that I can walk away, man, and people be like, well, Ben, you could have did this, you could have did that. Like, yeah, I could have. But, I mean, you know, my peace of mind and health is far more important than running around for 32 billionaires that don't really care about me anyway, man. I mean, if we going to keep it 100, they didn't care about me like that. So, yeah, but it was cool, though, man. Walking away on my own terms was probably the best thing I did, you know, outside of the fact that I got to live a dream.
Okay.
Awesome. So, just jumping ahead, we're going to move ahead with this. Now we're going to go to the part that I do know. Now that you're a speaker, so I'm a speaker as well. So that, of course, I was intrigued by that part. So going from, I went from being a rapper to a speaker. So I want to know, like, what was the transition from you becoming a football, you know, you were a football player to becoming a speaker, to getting out here, to be able to speak to the public? Like, what are your topics? What are you really, who's your audience, and what are you trying to do when you're speaking?
Well, my audience, I mean, it's obviously it started off in college, just going to speak to the youth. And as my career grew in football, and my recognition grew because people knew who I was, I just developed a passion for it, man. When you understand that, you know, the biggest fear of people is public speaking. It ain't getting shot, stabbed, drowning. It's standing in front of people and speaking. I realize that a lot of people, man, they have a voice, but they're scared to use it. And I am them. We are one and the same. I always tell people I get to tell the truth by telling my truth. So as many people that have me, because I used to really, really, like, limit myself as far as, like, who I would speak to. I kept it around, like, comfortable audiences. But then I started speaking at Fortune 500. You know, I started speaking at Fortune 500 companies and all these different places. And what I realized was football gets me in the door because people hear NFL and that gets me in the door. Then once I get in there, I'm here to tell you what I'm here to tell you, because it makes no sense for me to talk to people at Chick-fil-A Corporate Center in Atlanta, Georgia about scoring touchdowns. That's not going to help them. But I can translate the fact that, like, when I tell people I use failure as a tool, I ain't scared of losing. That the reason why, you know, I represent, you know, impossibility. I don't want what the world told me I could have. I want, you know, I'm trying to be like a, you know, like a trailblazer, be able to, and I might, you know, and in that process, because you got to think, man, listen, when you, you know how it is, man, you know, us as black people, man, we understand that people are intrigued by us, because when they meet me, I say, listen, I don't sing or dance or nothing. You know, they be like, you been? And I go, yeah. And they expect me to break out into a tap dance or something. I'm like, nah, I don't do that. And I think the biggest thing that helped me was I heard Jay-Z say something one time, like, you know, with all the rapping that he does, he says, I heard him say, you know, people died for equal pay, right? You know, when I work, I'm not your slave, right? I ain't shucking and jiving and high-fiving. You know, this ain't back in the day. And that is me. I don't shuck. I don't jive. I don't high-five. I tell people what it is. And then when people get, yeah, because you got to think. I get highly scrutinized more by the people that look like me compared to the people that don't. And it's supposed to happen that way. You're supposed to be like, dude, when I saw you on TV, they had you, they don't, you know, I think I'm on TV long enough for me to say, hey, Ben, they want you to be in a dress, not doing it. Nah, you're not going to have me out here. And the public speaking opens up so much stuff, man, because I get booked by somebody in the audience that's listening to me. You know, it's somebody in the audience, hey, Ben, I want you to come speak here and speak here. And, you know, I did it so long for free, to the point where one day, you know, I was like, man, I can't do this. I can't do no more free gigs, man, because, I mean, I got bills. I can't be doing this out here. And, you know, but at the same time, I just take it as it comes, man. I mean, I consider myself more a storyteller than a speaker, because I try to use my life experiences to tell people, man, listen, dude, when your life is over, man, ain't nobody going to care what happened to you. They're going to care about what you did. They're going to care, like, what did you do? So it's fun, though. I mean, like you say, transitioning from, you know, like you said, you transition from a rapper to a speaker. I transition from an athlete to a speaker, and I had to learn I can't run from what I used to be, because people gonna know, people gonna recognize me as that. But I use that as a means to, you know, open up other doors. But it's fun though. I mean, the speaking aspect of it is fun because I do Q&As. I didn't do it at first, but I do Q&As at the end, and you get some of the craziest questions in the world, but at the same time, I want people to really walk away from this thing knowing that you know, Ben is a regular dude, man. You know, I always tell people all the time, at the end of the day, man, we ordinary people, man. Our lives should be extraordinary, though. Your life should be a far extension of what we are. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I try to leave with people, man. It's fun. As much as I would love to think that, as black and brown people, we don't represent one another. We do. I mean, as much as we try to run from them, we do. So much is given, much required, man. When I stand up on that stage, man, I mean, it brings me more joy than running out on Sunday afternoons and Saturday afternoons as a football player. It's better than that. So, and because I don't control the audience. I don't control their feelings and thoughts, but hopefully somebody say resonate with them. And, you know, I mean, like I say, man, I'm still getting booked, man, so I must be doing something right, I guess.
So let me ask you a little bit about that. I mean, one of the things I've also struggled with is getting on that stage, not knowing. I speak on technology. I'm also a technologist. So being one of three black women in the industry, in my league, I feel like, you know, sometime I get up there, I'm hood. So when I came from hip hop. So when I get on the stage, I have a problem transitioning into proper English, I would say.
You gotta keep the hood there sometimes. You know, sometimes the words slip. You know what I'm saying, bro?
I'm so good. you know, and I get on the stage and I get to talking.
She'll be
like,
thinking she's
yeah.
doing bars.
And they look at me like, how do you feel like, you know, and I've adopted that in my speaking with, you know, just who I am. It's my personality. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to California to speak. I'm doing big things, but at the same time, I still get nervous. I still have all the butterflies in my stomach because I feel like, you know, I'm out of place. Do you ever at any time, any point in time, you know, hit the stage and say, oh, my God, look at this crowd. This is not my audience. I'm out of place. How do you deal with it? How do you handle
it? I used to, but then I realized, too, authenticity is what makes me, is what makes you you. Like, if I'm trying to sound
right.
like somebody else, I'm not me. I want my accent to come out. I want people to be like, where is he from? But I always look at it like this. I'd rather them be looking at me than me looking at them. You know, I'd rather me
right.
be up there than somebody else, because you got to think, you know, you coming from the element that you come. Listen, it's like you coming from where you coming from makes you authentic, because people going, wait, because somebody going to say, wait a minute, you used to be a rapper. You'd be like, and you go, no, I'm always a rapper. But I could, but this is another. This is an extension of me. Like, you know, it's like I think when we're taught to, once we transition to try to get so far away from what paved the way. Because think about it, without hip hop, you don't even become this in a sense.
Right.
So authenticity is what you want. Like when I'm standing up there, I see that you got to think we already got them when you think about it. Because they think, oh, what is she gonna say? What is he gonna say?
Right.
But I always say, man, I always let them know, man. I said, listen, I go, if less than 1% of what I chose to do make it to what I chose to do, and I'm the one that got to do it, you can never
right.
do what I've done. I could, anybody in this audience, I could just make the
right.
decision and do it. I say, and think about it. You were at the highest level. I said, think about this. You were at the highest level, and you chose to walk away. I chose to walk away, and these people are benefiting from, you know, what's on our mind. I think that don't run from it. Listen, if you start spitting bars halfway doing it, that's just you. I guarantee you. You just gotta. And I always know this. Somebody in that audience wants to do what you're doing. They
right.
can't do it how you're doing. It's almost like basketball players and football players. The reason why we start rapping, because we got enough money to get studios. We are not rappers. I love
right.
Kobe. I love
right.
Damian Lillard. They need to stick the basket, but that is not what you do. And people only go listen because of who they are. But behind the scenes,
exactly.
if you really knew Kobe, you would say, Kobe, that is whack. Damian, that is awful. because what happens is, and this is another thing I learned, too. I appreciate the craft of being a speaker. I don't think just because I can articulate my words and my thoughts that makes me a speaker. I don't believe that's what it does. Can you
right.
can you resonate with the audience? And I appreciate
right.
the craft of it. So for somebody to say, oh, I can do what she does, you're like, nah, you probably can try to do what she do, but you can't do what
right.
she does. It. So I say
right.
don't run from, because you got to think, the minute you go up there, and you're not trying to sound hood, and you're not trying to be you, it's almost like then, you know, people short changing those people. You know what I'm saying? Those people that
exactly.
hear
right.
what you got to say. And like I say, I would love to start spitting bars. I'm like, wait a minute, yo. And think about it.
And you
I got
what?
To know hip-hop
yeah,
even
yeah,
know
yeah,
what bars
listen,
are.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying? So.
You ain't got to wait long for it. Just follow Nina Capone. She'll be giving that interview, and the next thing you know, 16 bars will come out, and you didn't even know what happened.
Like, oops, did that just happen?
Yeah, I'm telling you, yo, it's amazing. She influenced me to do this right here today. The feedback off of what you're saying, like how you was out there, there's somebody out there that wanted to. I always for years, I looked at Nina Capone and said, man, I can do this radio thing. But I always say I'm just gonna call in, be one of the little guests, and now look where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
definitely somebody out there that's paying attention to
for
what
sure,
people
man.
Doing.
Yeah,
she was. I met her as a rapper, though. I didn't even know she was a motivated speaker.
I was cursing him out.
You know what I mean? Like I met her as a rapper. I didn't meet her as a motivated speaker. This, that, third. And I heard her speak one day. I was like, that's what's up. Then I heard her speak again. It was like, wait, did she do bars in the middle of that? Wait a minute. Like, I almost felt like, because I'm her choreographer, so I almost felt like I had to come up with a routine to what she had going on. Like, for real. But that's just what it is, you know, and it's part of motivation.
And that's awesome. So Ben, being out there, being a speaker, just going out and talking to young people, could you just share one of the experiences of being able, like, just having that moment when you reach somebody? I mean, I've personally had a moment where I reached somebody where she made me cry, and it kind of threw me off. Could you share one of those moments? Because I know you had one where you like touched somebody's life and changed it, and you know, without even trying. A lot of people don't know from the aspect of being a speaker what that really means to us as we go home and walk away that night. So if you could just share a little bit with the audience about that.
I was speaking at a high school one time, and I was telling them that sometimes, you know, you don't get the opportunity to walk behind somebody. You got to pave the way for somebody else. Like, you have to be the first. And I go, you know, being the first is always what always means you have to go through the bumps and the bruises of trying to figure out the way to go, to open up doors to somebody else. So what happened was, it was a young man, and he was getting recruited by the University of Virginia. And, you know, he was, you know, he ain't come from the best background like most of us don't. He didn't come from the best home life like most of us don't. And then at the end of it, he got mad because some of the kids was talking when I was talking or whatever. So he kind of stood up. He was like, you know, being troopers here, man, when he gets paid to do this and this man ain't charging us a dime to come do this and y'all disrespecting. I told him it's cool. And he told me, like, what can I do? And I said, well, you just did it. I go, you speaking up for me is like you letting me know the type of individual you are. And he was like telling me, like, how, Mr. Troop, I'm not going to let you down. I kept telling him, man, you can't let me down, partner. Don't let down the people that's only going to make it if you make it. Like, certain people only going to make it if certain people. And I think that he didn't understand that till I told him. I said, dude, certain people only make it because you make it. Their whole life is predicated on if you make it. Even me. And there are some people that said, well, I'm a son and a, you know, I'm a cousin and an uncle and all these things. And it brought tears in his eyes because he said, ain't nobody ever told him that he means more to people than he know. I said, well, dude, you got to think, man, the people that celebrate you and the people that hate you, most of the time, they're the same person. You just don't know that. And I go, and I'm telling him, I said, listen, I said, the reason why I love being an athlete, the people that don't like to see me play and the people that love to see me play, they both in the stands because they both got to know what I do in order to give me the type of feedback they think is going to resonate with me. So I think it really touched me because he understood in that moment that he matters. See, most people don't think they matter. He thinks, you know, if he's going on thinking, he judged his whole life based on his shortcomings or what he didn't accomplish. I say, dude, the University of Virginia came all the way down here to see you. And I go, it's up to you. I say, but you making it or not making it would determine if somebody else make it. And, you know, you could tell that, like, he really, really wanted me to know that he wasn't going to let me down. I say, man, I go, dude, I say, listen, to me, you going to make it. How you make it is important to me, though. It's how you make it. I don't care what you're doing, man. As long as it ain't putting you in jail, man, as long as it ain't causing somebody else's life. And I think that in that moment you realize that your words are more than words. Like, I consider myself, you know, like a sculptor. But I sculpt through my words. You know, I try to paint pictures with them. And you know how it is. As most of the time when you're speaking, you don't know if people are getting what you're saying. But that young dude, he gave me a perspective that I needed as a speaker. Because, you know, sometimes you're like, dude, is this what I really supposed to be doing or should I? You know, am I really believing myself or kidding myself?
Oh, yeah. But
everybody needs validation. I mean, no matter what we say. And he gave me that validation, man, because he kept saying, I know you don't care if I don't let you down, but I'm not going to let you down. It's almost like, he my little brother looking at me saying, hey, man, I'm going to make you proud of me. So, yeah, I mean, I've had dozens of experiences with people, man, to you know, but that one really resonated with me because you can tell that I could be the reason why this boy chose to go to college or stay home. I could be the reason why just from pushing him. And I told him, man, I said, look, dude, I said, all you got to do is understand, my G, that when it comes to us, when it comes to people that look like you and look like me, doing the extra has to be our normal. We can't do the regular things and expect to do great things. Being great has to be our norm. That just has to be how we are as individuals. But it's great, though, man. I mean, that young dude, he really gave me what I needed, man. Because, you know, sometimes you do what you do so long, you lose that, you know, you lose that that energy and that drive and that push that you had.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you got to, you know, he gave me that act right that I needed. So, you know, I appreciate he did more for me than I did for him, you know, even if he wouldn't believe me if I told him that.
Wow. That's what's up. Wow. That's awesome. That's good.
So, wow. See, I needed that because I was sad earlier because Jay told me he wasn't coming, and I wasn't sure this guy was coming. I wasn't going to put him out there, but I am now.
This is crazy. You see what I'm saying? Listen, this man just shares some positive stuff.
Well, I wanted to tell him he influenced me. Now I'm happy.
You happy now?
I'm glad we still, you know. Are
you happy because we're here?
I'm happy because y'all here. See, I love my guys. Like, they don't know that I do. I really do. I appreciate them. They definitely motivate me to continue to do the show and to continue to speak and be out here doing all of these things.
And you know, I'm always proud of you. That's my favorite thing.
Y'all don't know. Even if I curse y'all out, I still love y'all.
Right.
No, I mean, I know how to turn my phone off. Everybody again.
So, Ben, we got issues.
My phone is off because of Nina Capone. Everybody got to understand that. You know what I mean?
Ben, one of the main questions, I did a survey earlier prior to the show. And I just was asking some of the fans and some of the, you know, people who's really into the sports and things about the current state of the NFL right now. And I truly felt that you would definitely be the primary, you know, person that can share because you have that experience. You've been through that experience.
Right.
Being involved in the NFL and through the whole process from then till now. The current state of the NFL currently right now, what's been going on. What's your take on that? And I'm pretty sure a lot of people ask you that question, but I would definitely like to hear you, you know, share your piece on this whole thing, what's going on in the current state of the NFL now.
I would say that I'm proud of the players. I mean, I'm proud of a guy like Colin Kaepernick. I always said I think the guy's like, I think he's gonna be celebrated as a hero one day, man. I mean, you know, not in the same light as a Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X, but you got to think. I mean, people, you know, if I'm in the NFL right now, man, I'm telling these players, man, I said, listen, when you really, really think about it, I say, as black athletes, don't let them tell our story, dude. You can't let them control the narrative. Yeah, some of us going to be casualties in this thing. Some of us going to lose sponsorships, endorsements. Think about it like this. The NFL employs domestic violence abusers, drug addicts, drunks, all this. Cam Newton said something about that later that he shouldn't have said, and he lost his sponsorship. He said one thing, but they're trying to show Cam, and they're trying to show, listen, people that look like us, look, dude, we're going to try to control y'all. I would tell them it has been hijacked. Think about it. How you going to tell me it's something that it's never been about? If it's never been about the anthem, if it's never been about the flag or the military, because the president comes out and says it's about those things on the whole, it ain't never been about what we're trying to make. That is the plight of black people. We just and they say, well, these are a bunch of spoiled millionaires. On end, it ain't that they spoil. It's that 70% of the NFL is black. 70%.
Right.
So what happens is, Colin Kaepernick did a protest the right way. He didn't tell his teammates to get involved. He didn't tell the NFL. He did it during the preseason. Some cameraman put it on him, and now it's almost like I look at it like this. If you're in the NFL right now, and you got black or brown skin, look, you need to stand for something or fall for anything. If you let them control you, they're gonna control you. And I just think it's gonna take a player like Cam Newton, it's gonna take a player like Dez Bryant for the Dallas Cowboys to look at Jerry Jones, the owner, and say, I'm gonna kneel. And I'm gonna see what you're gonna do. Let's see what your next move gonna be because I just look at it as it's so much bigger than the game of football. I think football is just a parallel of life. You know how it is. They gonna tell us that's like if I say something is racist, a white man gonna tell me, no, Ben, you just in your feelings. No, you and yours, don't tell me what I know it is. You can't tell me my experiences, because I always say this. White people love America, black people just live here. We just live. It's different.
Yeah.
Our experience is different. So as far as like the NFL, think about it. The president comes at who he knows is going to resonate with America. Well, I can't really come at the NBA because it's about the player. The NFL is about the NFL shield. So when he says those are friends of mine, he's talking about the owner, the billionaire. They're friends of mine. And it looked like at one point, the owners was coming together when it came to the players. Now they're trying to protect their bottom line, which the almighty God.
Right.
But now you're trying to see how they really think, man, because you got to think. I would love to say that this type of stuff is new to me, but I go, hey, man, you can't fool me, man. I said, I'm tired of signing my name on the right side of a check. I want my name to be you know, printed on the left side. Because the guy that got his name printed on the left side, he controls stuff. He controls
right.
So I just hope these players, man, don't stop doing it, man, because it's going to look like a publicity stunt if they stop. And I know that's unfortunate, but I'm thinking to myself, dude, when you think about it, when somebody asked me before, I said, listen, man, to be quite honest, when you talk about patriotism, the only reason why I stood up for the anthem, not saying I love my country, but I stood up for the anthem because somebody told me to. I put my hand on my heart because somebody told me to. I don't know what I'm really doing. You know, like think about it. Like, when I'm a kid, think about it. Yeah, I said, listen. I learned the anthem no different than how I learned the ABCs. They sung the song long enough that I learned the words. Somebody sung the ABCs long enough that I learned it. So when they talk about patriotism, they trying to tell us, yeah, you have a right to protest, but it's a time and a place. But yet, they can't tell us a time and a place. They can't tell us what could have been done better. Because what happens is this. Colin Kaepernick did something that the NFL don't like. He controlled the narrative. He controlled... Yeah. And they took something that was the NFL and it became global. So I just hope that I'm proud of the players, man, but I hope they understand that this is something that's bigger than them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, this is something that from generations to come, man, you got to let people know that, listen, man, you either an individual or you a follower. You either somebody or you a bunch of nobodies posing as a somebody. Period. You don't get no in between. And I know everybody ain't gonna get it. But I think if Colin Kaepernick gave $1 million of his money when he played and gave $1 million when he's no longer in NFL, he put his money where his beliefs were. And most dudes ain't going to do that. You know, most dudes ain't finna give $1. So I'm proud of him, though, man. I just hope that guys like Michael Bennett of the Seattle Seahawks and Malcolm Jenkins of the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, people like Richard Sherman and guys that really care about it, that they willing to lose playing time, money, and prestige for something greater than themselves, which I hope they are, but it's easy for me to say it because I'm not in their position right now. But I think some of those dudes going to do that, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movement. I believe, you know, that just standing tall on something in which you believe in, I think it's not enough of us, especially in as role models. People who are in those power positions are not standing tall. To see it happening now literally brings joy to my heart. Just to see it actually happening. I mean, you just want to, you're like, what happened? Let me turn back. I'm on social media scrolling like, oh, shit, that just happened.
And then
she
get emotional real quick.
And then I get emotional and start crying because, girl.
No, because you need to go home.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I applaud them. I mean, because you got to think, man, like, most of the time, we don't know how big of an influence we are. We thinking I'm just tweeting, kneeling, and next thing you know, people start saying, hey, man, you need to stop doing that. You need to do this way or that way. And I go, well, I always say this. Whenever somebody goes, well, Ben, they should have done it another way, I say, okay, whatever that way is, you do it. They already got that way. So don't
think
that's almost like if I speak like this, they say, Ben, I think you ought to speak like this or talk like that. No, you talk like that. You do it.
Right.
See,
and as a speaker, you get
that. Right. Yeah, because what it is, what I said before was when I asked about this, I go, to me, I said, all these boys, all these players walk around, you know what I'm saying? They puppets. They cut the strings. They Pinocchio. They real people. They got tired of somebody doing it for them. And I think that's the biggest thing. Now, athletes are more informed. They understand like what they're doing. Because think about it.
Right.
People put a mic in front of their face because they don't think they can articulate what they're doing. And when they can, they go, okay, they know what they're doing. Let me come at them.
They want to move the mic
down. Right.
I think that's almost like, you know, when it comes to us, man, they can't say what they really want to say. So they got to come at you another way. But I tell them, I say, the story of black people to me is very simple, man. We've done so much for so long with so little that we can do anything with nothing. That's what we do. That's what we do every single day. So what happens is, if I'm running a race and you move my finish line, they say, you know that dude still crossed the finish line, right? Like, well, we moved it. He found it and he crossed it. Because that's what that's what we do. So I just think that they're trying to move the finish line. They're trying to move the finish line again, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I always say this, man, and people get mad at me. I go, What is white mediocrity without black excellence? It's nothing. Because that's what
nothing
we do. Like, think about
exactly.
it. Mediocrity happens all over television, all around the world. Then you drop a little sauce in there, and here come the black excellence. That and that's just
right.
that's just true in all forms. I go, I go, the reason why Martin Luther King Jr. really got assassinated back in the day was because at one point he was more popular than the president. He was more
right.
popular
right.
than him. Can't have that. Can't have him walk around. So, you know, so I just go, don't lower the bar to meet the mediocrity set by, you know, the establishment. Just maintain your excellence. Just, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's all you really got to do to me because they trying to pull us down. Now, the president really think, what would the president be without Twitter? This dude, oof, what would he be without it? But then again, but think about this, though. But when I say white mediocrity, how did he really become president? Saying Barack Obama wasn't, you know, born in America. That's how he really got his say. It wasn't The Apprentice. He going
right.
nationally because everybody don't watch TV. But now, think about it. He won't comment on what happened in Charlottesville, but he will talk about Jemele Hill. Oh, she works at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
She's black. Oh, he will talk about Colin Kaepernick. Oh, he's black. He's in the NFL. He will talk about the Mexican judge who said he probably can't do his job. So if anybody who is black
mm-hmm.
of brown descent, oh, he coming at us. But what he didn't realize was, hey, dude, LeBron James called you a bum. He coming back at you.
Oh, they
so
all coming at him.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, but he set himself up
Rappers.
For that, man. And I think that, you know, he set himself up for that, though. When LeBron said, I said,
yeah, absolutely.
Bro, that's how you feel? So, you know.
Then Puff Daddy followed behind that.
And then the one, what's his name,
that
didn't want to go to his house? He was like, I
don't want
to go to the White
oh,
House.
Oh, you talking about Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Like, listen, man, I'll skip that White House experience. I'm cool. I ain't worried about it. I got my ring.
Yeah.
Peace out.
And ain't nobody
but,
going. And ain't nobody really going out. The WNBA champions ain't going. The University of North Carolina, they ain't going. Because you got the thing, too, now. I mean, yeah, going to the White House is prestigious, depending on who occupying it. You know,
exactly.
When Barack then was there, everybody trying to go. But,
right.
You know,
right.
And Steph said, well, I already went anyway. I went 2 years ago. So it's cool.
Yeah, you know what, yo, he really
you know,
killed him on the low. He killed him on the low. Yeah, he's like, yo, come on, man. Like, this ain't my first trip. This ain't my first time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Man, of course. You know, I mean, and that, and so I just think that as long as, as long as these players, and not just football, but all across, as long as they understand, man, that you're doing something greater, it's bigger than just what you do athletically. People watching
okay.
every move you make now, man, and that microscope's supposed to be put on them. But, hey, man, I think we're in a good direction, man. I think you got very, very informed athletes these days. I mean, even entertainers. I mean,
right.
When you really, really think about it, Jay-Z, man, he changed the face of hip hop in my opinion because he's doing conscious rapping now. Like when you talking about OJ, he letting OJ come on OJ. That song,
right?
You know, that song. But he used OJ as the barometer. But what he's telling you is, hey, you can't run from this. You think
right,
because
right.
you live in the hills and making money, you think because you got a little prestige, okay?
Yeah.
Let the police come to your house. Watch what happens.
Yeah,
so, I like that, man. I like that. I like us. You know, stepping up for each other, man. Because sometimes, man, we don't know the way, man. We need people that's had money for a long time, been famous. Because I always say this: as great as Beyonce is, Jay-Z been Jay-Z. He was Jay-Z
right.
way before she was Beyonce. Not saying that
mm-hmm.
he hit the jackpot. I'm not saying that, but you know.
So you definitely, I mean, I definitely hear that country lingo in the language. You know what I mean? I already know you from Georgia. I live down there, so I get it. I hear that Georgia in you. I hear that. Georgia
yeah,
in you.
y'all sound like y'all from like y'all sound like Jersey, New York. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, the thing is, now we Philly all day, but you know.
Georgia. I was out there with DJ Tay Rock.
Well, I lived out there for 7 years, man. I was out there in like up
y'all
in the
Y'all got that up north. Well, I'm gonna say that y'all got that up north twang, y'all. I lived in New York for a little while. So
yeah,
New York, Jersey, Philly.
You got that Atlanta. You got that Atlanta lingo.
Yeah, exactly.
So, So, Ben, so what do you have going on now? I mean, besides the speaking, what else are you into? Anything else developing? Any secrets you keeping from me right now? I don't want to have to come.
I actually do radio now, too. I do sports radio now. So, you know, I'm doing that now. So, you know, I got like a day job, as they would say. So, you know, that's what I do during the day now. I do like a sports radio. And it's fun, man. I mean, it's fun being able to talk sports because, you know, you talk, you know, I work with two gentlemen, man, that's really, you know, helping me learn how, you know, to do things in a proper manner. But the only reason why I can work while I work is because I don't have to stop doing what I'm doing. Like, I'm always going to be a speaker. As long as I don't, I'm not going to stop doing that to do something else. So because they understand what I do, yeah, man, I get to work with them on a day-to-day. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Let us know about the radio show, man. We call in and support.
Yeah, I want to.
Oh yeah, man, you can go to the ESPN app, man. Download the ESPN app. Go to Listens. Go to Listens and look for Coastal Georgia, and you'll see me on that Three and Out, man. It'll be me and two white guys next to me, man. You can't miss me.
definitely.
That's what's up.
Any other questions? I
mean, you pretty much aired out a lot. The main thing that people was really focused on, the current state of.
You motivated me.
And not only that, you add a little bit of motivation and you know, in the mix of that, being so that you are a motivation, not only motivation to speak, I feel like an inspirational speaker, because when I listened to your interviews, I got inspired by the energy that you was putting out there, you know, and how from the heart that you was with it, you know, when you got tired, when you felt like it was time to move on, then that's just what it was. Nobody could, you know, tell you different. You know what I'm saying? So, I commend that.
I've seen a lot of interviews where people, they had to go out because they had three ACL torns and stuff like that. Those interviews are why you had to retire, and retiring at 26 because you just wanted to move on to the next platform. It's definitely got to be a blessing. Well,
the energy that he's sharing now about what we're talking about,
right?
The fact that, you know, he's shining light on those young brothers that's in the NFL right now,
right?
That's standing for a certain purpose now, because it's kind of making a transition from just straight entertaining,
right,
and buying merchandise.
To focus and pay attention.
Leadership, I mean, it's one of the things that the black community has been lacking over the last maybe 20 years or so.
Right.
Real black leaders in the entertainment industry, in the sports arena. We haven't had any real leaders. You know, we haven't had a Muhammad Ali.
Okay.
You know, besides money being thrown around and thrown up in the air, we haven't had someone that we can all look at and be like, damn, he did that shit. Yeah, you know, and stand behind him. And I like to say shit a lot, but really stand behind
him.
You
hear that? The hood coming out. You heard that, Ben?
If it's authentic, I'm cool with it.
But that's one of the things, you know, we look for, and I especially as a young black woman in my field. I'm one of three black women doing what I do, you know, working on automation, you know, in technology. So it was really hard. I really struggle to stand forward, to go out to California and speak, you know, like they're like, oh, we want you to come to the Valley and speak. And I'm like, I'm not ready for that. You know, I talk hood, you know, they laugh. I'm like, oh, get a communication expert. And I'm like, but for what? I'm still going to talk like this.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I mean, yeah, save your money. Save your money, because they can't take that out of you.
It would be a huge waste. So, you know, it's commendable to see somebody out here that's actually doing what you're doing, speaking how you're speaking, being humble. Even to be on the show, you know, I reach out to a lot of people who, you know, have names, who have history, who, you know, say, oh, well, what is your show about? And ask me 50 questions before they can say, you know, oh, yeah, sure, Nina, I'll get on the show. So thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you.
Yeah, I was about to touch on that.
Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all, man. I mean, it's always
you fit the description of Respect the Hustle, because that's the name of the show. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, when I had to do the drop, I say, man, and that's the thing too. It's I always tell people, man, I say, man, I'd rather catch somebody, man, when they're on their way up there. Because when they get there, man, it's going to be hard to get to them. Like, once they get to that level,
so people know.
Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. Somebody goes, hey, Ben, man, like, you know, people seem to think you've changed. I said, no, it ain't that I've changed, it's that you haven't. Like, you think I do all I do to stay the same? Like, what are you talking
right,
about?
Right.
Like, I'm not. I go, listen, man. I said, just know one thing about me. If I take the elevator all the way to the top, it is my job to make sure it go back down. I'm gonna make sure it goes all the way back down so somebody else can come back up. I go, but the problem is this though. I go, with us, man, as Black people, we always looking for a reason to pull each other down. I don't pull people down, man. I ain't got time for that. Me pulling you down, I ain't finna do nothing for me. I say, Black, I'm gonna lend a hand if I can. If I can, I'm gonna lend a hand.
Okay.
Black, I'm only here to lend a hand. I can't do it for you. I can't do it all for you, I say, but I'd rather it happen to a person like me, man, because if I'm there, we there. I don't need much in this life, man. I mean, the platforms that I've been given, man, I utilize it to the best of my ability, but I'm going to bring my people with me, and they don't owe me nothing. When they go, man, what I got to do for you, do it for the next man. Somebody did it for me. I'm just doing what was did for me, and in the process, like, think about it, and I believe this. If you good at what you do, people will respect everything else. Kevin Hart is very good at what he does. That's why we respect everything he does. Steve Harvey, good at what he does. I think if you're good at speaking about technology, but you're yourself, somebody's going to say, well, when's the book coming out? Oh, you doing this? They looking forward to what's next. And a lot of times, we ain't thought that far. And I used to wonder, why do people write books? Like, why? People write books so people could take you home with them. People are like, oh, I just heard her speak. I want to know more about her. And I always remember this, man. I mean, you know, so if somebody, you know, people come at me about writing books all the time, and I used to want to write a book about me, but I go, that's very selfish, dude. Like, I think I'm a cool individual, but how do I talk to the masses? I use me as a means to talk to everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So,
reach out to everybody,
Yeah, so it's cool, but no, man, I appreciate y'all having me. Trust me, man. Listen, I look at being on y'all show as being bigger than going to people. People always being, you want to go on ABC and CNN? Like, nah, not really. I mean, I'd rather do this because I got a bigger chance of meeting Mr. 3.0 walking through the airport than I'm gonna meet Don Lemon. So,
that very well may happen one day. So, I'm just letting
I look forward to it happening. I look forward to it happening one day.
Well, how about this, you know, from everybody in the streets radio and Respect the Hustle, we definitely would love for you to come to Philly one day and come hang out with the crew. We definitely got some good wholesome hosts. You know what I mean?
I got family in Philly.
Okay, so when you
I got
miss,
family
when
in
you,
Philly, so I can come up there.
When you touch down, this is you already know.
Just holler at me. You know how to reach me, and you know we definitely a link up for sure. But just before we get let you go, I want to just ask you to give a little advice. I have two little cousins. I don't know if you ever heard of him, Ray Laurie. He's doing his thing right now. But he's the main one. He's going to the NFL, no doubt. If you could give him some advice, like what would it be, you know, making that transition from college to pro ball right now?
I would tell him the first thing you need to get outside of an agent to get a financial advisor. You got to talk to somebody who's used to having money. He's went from a have not to a have got dude. So easy to get with somebody who's used to having money to help him keep the money he got and not spend all the money he got. I would tell him to be humble. And the biggest thing is I would tell him, man, to do it his way. You're going to have everybody in the world telling you, do it like this, do it like that, and do it like that. Do it your way.
Right.
I mean, because that way when you look back on it, you can say, dude, if I lost all the money I had but I did it my way, hey, man, I'm good. Because, I mean, I was 21 years old, you know what I'm saying, with enough money to buy the bank. So I would tell him to do it his way, but I would also tell him this. You got to understand that you're going to represent the hopes and the dreams of everybody that know you and go know you, learn how to say no and mean. Because, see, you can't tell everybody, and you can't, you know, you can't change everybody's life. And I would tell a man, just enjoy the ride, man. I mean, because you're doing something that most people can't even fathom. And if your signature get to become an autograph one day, sign it for as many people that'll take it. Don't never tell nobody no. Never turn down a picture, because without them, there is no him. Without the people, man, we don't exist. So don't get too big time to say, hey, man, I ain't got time to sign an autograph. I don't want to take no pictures. Nah, because you could have just been another person walking this earth that nobody ever knew, but now your signature became an autograph. Sign it for whoever do it, and take pictures for whoever do it, because, like I say, I mean, you could be the reason why somebody make it or don't make it. So, you know, just have fun with it, man, because I would never ever tell somebody, man, to tiptoe or walk the line. Have fun, man. Live it up, man. If you want to pop bottles, pop bottles. If you want to throw your money up, throw your money up. Because when it's over, it's over. Because people always, the only people that's going to tell you that you shouldn't have did it the way you did it is the people that's jealous of your success. So just do it. Right. I mean, live it up, man. You're a young man. I mean, listen, if you get a head start on life and somebody gives you a $1 million head start, hey, man, what would you do with $1 million? You know what I'm saying? So enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Well, wow, before you go, I just want to, you know what I mean, give you a little bit of what I have. Basically, you made my card collection. I got a football card collection that I had since my dad passed on, since I've been about 14. So you definitely made my card collection, just so you know. So hopefully when you come
up here.
Hey,
man, I'll sign it. You know, I'll get you the address.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll do you one even better. You give me your address or whatever, I'll send you a whole gang of them. You can keep the one you got. I'll give you a whole bunch of them. I just sent them.
That's
to you.
What's up.
Cool.
I'm gonna do just that.
So we will send the information.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you for coming on the show, man. We
appreciate
you.
Really appreciate you tonight.
We respect your hustle.
I respect y'all hustle, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Peace. All right,
y'all. That was crazy, 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 crazy.
Good feedback. I like that.
Thank you, Ben, for being here. Thank
Absolutely.
Him for, you know, tuning into the show, for all the great advice that he gave, for really just for taking the time out with us tonight. I mean,
Absolutely.
Like, it's not often that someone of that caliber who's out speaking, who's retired, who's doing this thing in other levels, you know, call into the show and be on the show and participate. And, you know, a regular hustler show.
You know,
Nina Capone likes to say shit a lot.
Right.
You know,
shit and fuck.
I'm calling people up. Like, can you get on my show?
That's what she do, though.
You know, and then they like, Nina, what? And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's Nina from such and such. And they like, oh, shit. Yeah, I got them saying shit. So, you know, thank you, Ben, for being here. Definitely appreciate you.
Also, we want to definitely thank everybody that came out Friday night for the comedy show.
Yeah.
Thanks to Feisty. We had
Betty Rizzo.
They
sent me some of the crazy
Stephanie Steph. Shout out to you, Steph.
Shout out to Steph.
You know, so they
shout out to Respect the Hustle
Team. Respect the Hustle Team was out there. It was out there.
Shout out to Richard
Nikki.
Redding.
Nikki was
you know,
out there.
He definitely tagged us on a lot of shit. So y'all need
right. Okay.
So, you know, shout out to Raymond Anthony for making it all possible.
What's up, Ebra?
On the whole Laugh Out Loud team.
Yeah. It was a real fun situation.
Yeah, it was a fun evening.
Nina Capone don't even know. I got some black belt pictures.
I got a whole bunch of pictures.
Man.
What happens when I go out? I had a great
time. Right, we had a great time.
The drink special.
It did it to us.
That was not what did it to me. The bartender is what did it to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Intentionally trying to kill me.
No. She gave you what you wanted. You wanted a drink, and that's what she gave you. You wanted a drink, you got a drink.
That
you know what I'm saying?
So
but yeah, we
came,
came out and supported.
Love.
We appreciate that.
Everybody that come out and show love at the events that we
everybody's tuned in tonight. You know what I mean?
Everybody that's tuned in. Shout out to all the Facebook Live people. We
What's
love
up?
Y'all. Like straight up, we love y'all.
We already, bro.
We already
had our special guest.
Great interview. Somebody.
Yeah, he like, what are we talking about tonight?
We respect the hustle. We don't respect.
Respect the hustle. We on time at 9 and we off at 10. You know what I mean?
They only respect the hustle. They don't respect nobody.
Everybody hustle. You know what I mean?
So cheers to everybody that's out there. You know,
right. Mad respect.
Y'all. Next week we got Bandit the Rapper on. We're gonna address we're gonna be talking about a lot of different little categories with him. We're also gonna be talking about his support for sickle cell anemia.
Okay.
And why he supported. I know his background. I asked him to be on the show to share with you guys.
That's dope.
So I think it's going to be dope. Definitely tune in next Tuesday, 9 p.m. You already know. He's going to be here live in person. You know, he got a bunch of cartoon characters and stuff all over him. I'm going to talk shit. So,
don't she always? You know what I'm saying?
I'm definitely going to come at his neck. So definitely, you know, tune in. That's going to be a great show. He's got a hell of a personality. I go ham on him. I will have no mercy. I promise you. But we definitely going to talk about a serious topic of sickle cell. And you know, it's serious. So definitely stay tuned. It's a lot of information that he's going to share. It's a lot of things that you guys need to know. He's no doctor. So that's the hint. So definitely tune in next Tuesday, 9 p.m. in the streets radio.
9 p.m. DJ Million.
I want to know what y'all doing right now. Take your picture, hashtag us at in the streets radio, post it on Instagram. Give us the finger, curse us out, do a quick video.
You heard that, E-Black? Give us the finger.
Do whatever you want to do. Hashtag In the Streets Radio or Respect the Hustle Network and post it on Instagram. It'll post right to our website within 15 minutes and we can see it. I love to go through and see what y'all doing, see what y'all talking about. Y'all want to send me a message? The best way to get it to us is Respect the Hustle Network. That's Respect the Hustle Network. All one word is hashtag it. Hashtag us on Facebook or
Instagram.
On Instagram, and it will reach our
website.
And we'll be able to respond back to you.
So,
woo!
Thank y'all for tuning in. Look, she need a drink now.
Yeah, drink.
Shout outs to Erica. DJ Millions is late, you know what I mean? We about to go off the air, so
definitely
just go back and just look at it, bro. It's okay.
Jay, you want to play a song real quick? Jay over here, he want
to gonna take us out with a song. He want to hear something sexy.
I know, because Jay being
he might got a hot day tonight.
I know. Jay
might got a hot day. You know what I mean? He about to get about to work, do something straight, but a little shame. You know what I mean? Make him holler for $1. You know what I mean?
Jay King.
Jay Kizzle.
In the building, you already know.
So peace and blessings, everybody. We're going to end the
you
night like this.
Some
$3
to take us out.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want. You in control over there. You got this under control.
Yeah, we're going to
throw some.
Shout out to Reed Dollars.
Y'all already know. Well, man, alive.
Let's go. We thank everybody for tuning in.
Until.
Next Tuesday.
Absolutely.
With Bandit the Rapper, y'all see the promo will go up tonight. Actually, the promo should have already went up. Absolutely. Automation.
Let's get back to this real music, that real life, that street shit, we still do it. Pistol packing, green puffing, and krill moving. Almost 15 and it still ain't get the deal moving. I wanna get my family out of Section 8, but stuck. Should I invest in this music or some extra weight? All I ever had was my mans, a rap book, nice gat, some souls out the Koran. These niggas out here tripping, gotta watch your step. Play them close, never know your right, know about your left. Your path is a bitch, you gotta watch your ex. That bitch will chase you down till you're out of breath. But we gon' keep on climbing until we out of steps. You are my highest high, I gotta confess. All I ever had, when times was a mess. Just this pen and this book, we strive for the best. Yes. Fell in love with this bitch, her name was Industry. Because of her, niggas ran away, always envy me. But it was no damn way that I was leaving her. And for some strange reason, I believed in her. Time after time, she let me down like a damn.